Jesus was a great teacher. He used stories that are amazing. He was a great storyteller, but he always had a way to get at the heart of the matter. And in this picture of Jesus, as he washed his disciples' feet, he got to the heart of the matter of how we serve one another and our attitude toward other people. He told us in this story that we were to serve like he does. Somehow, Jesus has a way to connect to the simple things around us and the things that are in our lives, but yet he connects to the deepest places in the human heart. Jesus was perceptive, he was deep, and he was a great teacher. Imagine what it would have been for you to be there, to be one of the 12 disciples that had walked with him for 3 years and seen him work these great miracles. I mean, turning the water into wine at the beginning and feeding 5,000 people with a few fish and a few loaves of bread and listening as he called out to Lazarus to come forth from the dead and see this man who had been dead for 4 days to come out. Imagine what they felt as this great teacher, this great rabbi, this powerful, this miracle worker, when he comes into the upper room on that evening, he gets down on his knees and he takes a bowl and water and a towel, and he washes everybody's feet. He showed them a depth of who Jesus was that they had not seen before. I want to invite you this morning to think about the kind of Jesus who would wash your feet. The kind of Jesus who would get down on his knees and take your dirty, stinking feet in his hands, and he would run the water over it in his hands, and he would wash it and dry it with a towel and show his love for you. Jesus led by example. It wasn't just telling the disciples what to do. Jesus doesn't just tell us what he wants us to do, but Jesus set an example for us of how he wanted us to treat one another. And it came from his heart. It came from the very character of the Son of God. You realize that Jesus was the Son of God. And so when we have this picture of the washing of the disciples' feet, it's the Son of God expressing the heart of God to each one of us. It came from his heart. And good teachers are like that. They teach from their heart. And that's what Jesus did as he washed his disciples' feet. Jesus' teaching also was very real and practical. Just think of how dirty those disciples' feet would have been that day. According to the Gospels, they've been traveling all day. They've been walking on the dusty, dirty streets and wearing sandals. They were tired, and they came into that upper room late in the evening, and they were going to have the Passover supper. Probably each one of them had been a long time since they had ever had their feet washed, and Jesus came with a very practical tool, a refreshing, cleansing experience to wash their feet. Jesus' teaching is always practical. It's real about human needs. When Jesus teaches us something from the Scriptures, there's a real need at the heart of it. Jesus was also very humble. He was willing to do this dirtiest job, the hardest job. Jesus is willing to take the job that probably nobody else wanted to take. In another story, when someone came and washed Jesus' feet, the woman who took her alabaster box and broke it and anointed Jesus and washed his feet and washed and her tears fell on the feet of Jesus. And in this other story where someone was willing to do the hardest job, how did Jesus respond? With love and appreciation. And he said to those that were critical of her, "Well, I came in and you never washed my feet." And so in this story, Jesus did the most unpleasant job, the least desirable job. And so where we face in this story of Jesus that a humble teacher who's willing to do the most unpleasant jobs, he's willing to do what nobody else will want to do. He's willing to do that work. Not the convenient jobs, not the jobs that are easy to do, not the jobs that everybody is willing to do. But Jesus sets the example of being willing to do the unpleasant jobs. Jesus also loved people no matter who they were. I also notice about Jesus in his teaching as he was reaching out to all kinds of different people. He was reaching out to his own disciples. He was reaching out to the crowds. He was reaching out to those that other people rejected. You think about the example of Jesus and how he wants us to see people. We see that he always loved people no matter who they were.
He was no respecter of persons. He didn't favor one person over another, but he loved people. He sets that example for us today. He wasn't looking to be popular. He wasn't looking to be cool. It wasn't man's approval that motivated the heart of Jesus as he washed his disciples' feet, but he saw people who were dirty, people who needed help. And in all the stories that Jesus teaches us, he takes someone who has a need, and with great compassion and love, he meets the need. He does whatever he can to meet the need of someone's heart. That's the example that Jesus gives to us in our attitude about serving people. Are we willing to do the unpleasant job? Are we willing to love people no matter who they are? Are we able to look at people like Jesus did? Jesus was able to look at dirty, stinking feet, and with a heart of great love and compassion, he was able to kneel down and to wash their feet. Being a servant of Jesus means to carry the cross. It means to be willing to look at people like Jesus did. And in so many stories of the New Testament, we see the way that Jesus saw people. The crowd saw him one way. The religious leaders saw him one way. Even the disciples saw people in a certain way. But the way that Jesus saw them was always with love. Remember in John chapter 8, they brought this woman who was caught in adultery. And it says they threw her down at Jesus' feet. And to the people, that the religious leaders of the day, this woman was just really a worthless, not worthy of care or respect. And what does Jesus do? He reaches down with great love. That's the kind of heart of God, the kind of heart that God has. He sees people that are hurting and he cares deeply about them, even those that have messed up their own lives and made their own decisions, like the woman caught in adultery. Jesus had the kind of love in his heart and compassion in his heart that he reached out with great love to her. Another thing about the example of Jesus is Jesus didn't wait to be asked. I notice about Jesus throughout the Gospels that he sees a need and he reaches out to them. When he washed his disciples' feet, he saw these men and he knew their lives, he knew their hearts, and he reached out to touch them and to help them and to bless them and to meet their needs. In so many ways in this story, Jesus sets an example of the kind of heart that God wants us to have toward people. In our story last week, we saw how God wants us to view people that have faults and weaknesses. And this story, in some ways, is a reminder of that. God wants us to see the needs of people and with compassion, reach out to care for them. Jesus was motivated by a deep love, a love that came from God the Father. And for us to have a servanthood heart, the only thing that can help us to love people like God wants us to is that we have God's love inside of us. There's no substitute in serving God than having a love for people. A servanthood attitude toward God and to others is a fruit of God's love. If you truly have God's love in your heart, the Bible says, then you will have a love for other people. You will have a compassion to reach out and to care for and to love other people. If God's love is in you, you will want to serve. You'll want to serve God in whatever way that God calls you to, whatever way God gives you an opportunity. If you have God's love in your heart, then you're going to want to, it's going to want to flow out of you to care for and to love other people. The story of Jesus washing his disciples' feet begins with that connection between love and service. Look at verse 1 of chapter 13 here and listen to what Jesus says. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave the world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Jesus had already been showing the world of how he loved people. And so when he comes to the last night of his life before he's arrested, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Somehow in this story, God is showing us the full extent of God's love. That's kind of hard to imagine. In this story, the washing of the disciples' feet, how is it that Jesus is showing the full extent of his love? I guess it reminds us of how important it is to God's heart that we have a heart of service to other people. The story of Jesus washing his disciples' feet begins with this connection to love and service. We know that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And when His Son came, Jesus, He showed His love and God's love by serving one another, serving people. Jesus' love was always real, lived out, practical. Everything Jesus did had a reason. It had a motive of love. In the same way, everything that we do should have a motive of love for people. It should be motivated by this desire to love people like Jesus did, to reflect the wonder of who Jesus is. Genuine love is always evidenced by act of service. If you have a real love for God, and that love is real in your heart, then you'll have a motivation to love people. You'll have a motivation to reach out and care for people. If you don't understand God's love, then you will have a tendency to be like last week, to be judgmental, to always be looking at the faults in other people. But God wants us to go far deeper than that and past that and be driven by a love that causes us to reach out to people. Book of James says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. You can say you're a Christian, you can be a cultural Christian, but unless it brings forth out of you a heart and an attitude that reaches out to the needs of people around you, your faith is dead. You can't have God's love in you, James also says, and see your brother in need and ignore that need. Jesus also told a story in the parable of the talents. He talked about how every person has certain gifts. Every person has certain abilities or certain talents. And we know that we all have a unique personality and unique gifts from God. We all have 24 hours in the day. And in this parable that Jesus told that's so closely attached to when He washed His disciples' feet, He said that God will hold us all accountable for the gifts that He gives us. God will hold you accountable for your time. God will hold you accountable for whether or not you use the gifts that He's given you to minister to other people. What God gives you is His gift to you, but what you do with it is your gift back to God. God calls you to use what He's given you to serve others. You can use it selfishly, or you can use it to build the kingdom of God and build other people. I think especially of how important our words are and how each one of us have that gift of speech. We have the ability to bless people. The proverb says we can bless or we can curse with our tongue and our words, and how God gives every Christian the responsibility to use that tongue to be a blessing for other people, not to talk about other people, but to bless, to encourage, to lift up one another. God wants you to use your talent and your gift for Him. What you do with it is your gift back to God. I think sometimes we underestimate the potential that God gives us and wants us to use to bless other people. Truly, God touches people in amazing ways when they're willing to use what gifts they have to honor Him. Every one of you this morning has the potential to be a great servant of God. There's not a person that's here today that doesn't have the potential to be a great servant of God, to be great in the eyes of Jesus. You remember, as Shauna read earlier, when Jesus was talking to His disciples, He said at one point, "Not so, it's not to be with you like it is for the people in the world, but instead, you who would be great would be the one that becomes the servant of all." You really want to honor God with your life, if you really want to be close to the heart of God, if you want to sense God's Spirit in your life and showing you what He wants for your life, then God calls you to become a servant. God calls you to have an attitude of serving, an attitude of giving, an attitude of saying, I want to be a blessing in other people's lives. Right where you are, caring about people, every one of us, every one of you today has the potential to be a great servant of God. In that parable, the talents, when Jesus came back and He examined the one that had 10 talents, the one that had 5 talents, the one that had 2 talents, and you know, the one that had 10 talents went out and worked and worked those talents, and he had even more to come back and to show his master. But the one that had 1 talent did not, and he went out and buried his talent in the field. And when the master came back, He said to him, "Worthless servant." God wants us to use our time and use our talent and use our abilities in order to be a blessing to other people. Right where you're at, where you work, where you go to school, the people in your life. I imagine you young people in school, you have people that you rub shoulders with, and you might talk to them some days, or you just might walk by them because everybody's busy with classes and schedules. But I want you to consider the potential you have to be a blessing to the people's lives at school. There's people around you who need to be cared for. They need to be encouraged. They need to be loved in your school or at home school or Christian school, wherever you're at. You have the capability of being used by God at the age of 15. However old you are, you have the capability of being used mighty by God. I think in my youth group, I'll tell you about a young lady in my youth group. She was 2 years older than me, and her name was Reva. So I've known one other Reva before in my life, and her name was Reva Hoover. And I remember Reva, everything Reva did in that youth group was to tell people that they were important. And I never forgot that, how she was always reaching out to the younger kids. She was always encouraging people. She was always willing to pick up and do whatever needed to be done. And Reva was somebody that had a great influence in my life. Just a young person that loved God and seemed so unselfish. And I realized that God can help us to have that kind of heart. God can help you to have the kind of heart that's unselfish. We know that in this world there are givers and there are takers. And it's even true in the body of Christ. Sometimes we see people that are givers and sometimes people that are takers. And Jesus tells us in this story, in the story of the talents, that God wants us to be people who are givers. God wants us to have a heart and an attitude that is always reaching out and caring for other people. Verse 13 says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent me. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Jesus gives us a beautiful example and says, love one another, serve one another. He asked the question, do you understand what I have done for you? I know Jesus, as he washed his disciples' feet, he was probably thinking about Peter and James and all those 12 that were there. Do you really understand what this is about? Do you understand what it means to be a servant? Sometimes I think Jesus might take us by the collar and say, do you really understand what it means to have a servanthood heart? Jesus gives us the example. No servant is greater than his master. The question for every disciple of Jesus is not, what do I have to do to serve God and to serve other people, but what can I do to serve my master? What can I do to serve Jesus? What can I do to show a heart of love and appreciation that Jesus has showed for me? Sometimes I hear people in the church say, well, do I have to do that? And what do I have to do? But that's never the right question. The question is, what does God give you to do? What does God allow in your life? What does God give you in talents and time and abilities? Givers and takers. Having a giving spirit is truly a mark of genuine discipleship before God. Having a giving spirit is that mark of being close to Jesus. If we really want to know the heart of God, we want to know the heart of Jesus, we have to see a Jesus who calls us to servanthood. It's a mark of maturity. It's a mark of someone who really wants to walk with Jesus and hear his heartbeat and the love of God. Having a giving spirit is also a choice that we make every day. Every morning you make that choice. Every day you get up and you make the choice in your attitude toward people. Do I see myself as a servant of the Lord? Do I see this day as an opportunity to serve God? Or do I see this day of things that I want to accomplish and I want to have in my life? Having a giving spirit is a mark of genuine discipleship, but it's also a daily choice that we make every day to serve Jesus, to live for Him. We can be self-absorbed or we can have an attitude to care for others. And God calls us through the example of Jesus to have that heart that reaches out to love other people. A servanthood spirit is also evidence of God's authority, of who's in charge in our lives and who it is that that we are listening to, who it is that sets the pace, who it is that we have our eyes on. It's evidence of God's authority. Who's in charge? Who's in control? Who sets the agenda for your life? Jesus' words calls us to look within. Kind of back to that idea of accountability. The words of Jesus last week were a call to accountability of our attitude toward other people and how we look at our own faults. And today the words of Jesus also is that call to accountability for God to look deeper within us. Not just the surface, not just the smile we put on or some of the words we say, but look into the motive of our heart. Does our heart desire to be used of God? Does it desire to reflect the wonder of Jesus who took up his cross? And he calls us to take up our cross also. Jesus' words here can call us to look within. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. The scriptures in Ephesians say that whatever we do, do it all to the glory of God. Whatever you do for God, give it your very best. Give it all that you have, always with love, through love. Galatians also says, serve one another. Serve like Jesus did. Do everything that you can through love to serve one another. God calls us to have that attitude and that spirit of servanthood toward other people, serving like Jesus did. We're going to close this morning with a song that Sean is going to come and lead us, Take My Life and Let It Be. And I want to encourage you in this song to think about how you serve God and the motivation in your heart and how it is you choose and decide what you do in response to God's Spirit and God's call in your life, the gifts that He has. Would you stand with me, your time and your talent and your treasure? This morning, God gives every single one of us a certain mix of gifts, a certain mix of time. But it's not just that He calls the people in the front row or the people over on this side or one person out of the crowd to serve Him. The truth is, God calls every single believer to discipleship. God calls every single believer to take up their cross and follow Him. And this morning, Jesus' example, as He washed His disciples' feet, calls every single one of us to serve one another with our hearts wholeheartedly, to give everything that we have to serving God and to loving people. Let's sing together. Every one of us have a bowl to use for God. No matter where you're at, if you're a believer today, Christ calls you and gives you the opportunity to serve other people. No matter how young you are or how old you are, it's like we all have a bowl, we have water, and Christ calls us to use it. Calls us to use it for Him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And we realize that Jesus not only was a great teacher, but He's also a great servant. This great man, the Son of God, who is so far above and beyond everything that we can imagine, yet He calls every one of us to do the same thing that He does, to take up the wash basin and the towel and the water and to wash one another's feet. I pray, God, that we would have that attitude and spirit and want to wash each other's feet. Lord God, You call us to wash one another's feet, not because people's feet are clean, but because they're dirty. Sometimes they're not easy to love. Sometimes they're not so pleasant, and what You call us to do is not easy. Help us not to be lazy Christians. Help us, God, not to take our talents and bury them in the ground, but help us, God, to use them to honor You and glorify You. Thank You that You loved us so much. Thank You that You're the great teacher. Thank You, God, today that You loved us so much, that You were our sacrifice and our servant. Thank You, Jesus, for Your example. Help us to love one another like You call us to, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless.